This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 410 and a half, down a half. May corn, 419, down a half. July corn, 426, down a quarter. January soybeans, 1030 and a half, down 4.5. March soybeans, 1038 and a half, down 4.75. May soybeans, 1046, down 4.25. March wheat, 632 and a quarter, down 23. May wheat, 635, down 21.75. July wheat, 634 and a quarter, down 19.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended mostly lower on Friday afternoon, with wheat values sharply lower. Export sales did help to support corn futures. Japan bought 5.3 million bushels of U.S. corn, while 4 million were sold to Mexico. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 373 to 391, soybean bids mostly 3 to 4 lower at 989 to 1016. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 373 to 396, while soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 1005 to 1043. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 382 to 397, soybean bids down 4 cents at 1013 to 1042, and wheat bids dropped 23 cents at 532 to 613. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 cents lower at 1025 to 1040. Basis ended steady, ranging from 5 under to 10 over the January. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $388.50 to $418.50 per ton. That's down $1.80. Basis ended steady for the day, ranging from 25 to 55 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended steady at 401 to 410, with basis also steady on Friday, ranging from 9 under to option the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quartered producer corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 392 to 398, with basis steady to 3 cents stronger, ranging from 18 under to 12 under the March. Soybean bids also ended mixed at 1038 to 1041, with basis 1 to 6 cents stronger, ranging from 8 to 11 over the January. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to 1 cent lower at 418 to 420. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 3 to 5 cents, with quotations at 1068 to 1071. Soft red winter wheat dropped 23 cents at 632 to 653, while the Milo ended steady to a penny lower at 465 to 471. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 386 up to 405. New crop soybean bids at 958 to 983. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 389 up to 405. New crop soybean bids at 977 to 992. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 367 up to 405. New crop soybean bids at 959 to 988. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 582 up to 604. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 160.75, up $2.05. February live cattle, 160.10, up $1.57. April live cattle, 159.67, up $1.47. January feeder cattle, 220.15, up $3.07. March feeder cattle, 217.97, up $4.20. April feeder cattle, 218.07, up $3.90. February lean hogs, 81.90, up 2 cents. April lean hogs, 83.20, down 2 cents. May lean hogs, 87.17, down 27 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 19th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 10 cents higher in the range of 69 to 79 with a weighted average carcass price of $76.45. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mixed with light demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 37 to 43, 4 to 5 weights 41 to 46, 5 to 6 weights 45 to 47, and 6 weights and up 48 to 50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $45 to $50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,607 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 374 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150-175 to 160-150. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 140 to 145.50, and choice slaughter heifers, 156 to 161. On to the slaughter cows. Premiums were bringing 125 to 135, with some high dressing up as high as 143. Breakers were 88 to 97, with the high dressing at 104 to 112. Boners were 88.50 to 97, with the high dressing at 101 to 114. Leans were 75 up to $88. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 156 to 166 and on a dress basis 250 to 252. Heifers on a live basis traded at 158 to 160 and on a dress basis 152. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 324 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $87.38, and that was 14 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses $238.57, that was $3.38 lower, with select carcasses at $229.88, and that was 44 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 106,000, that compared to 106,000 last week and 120,000 a year ago. That represents a negative 7.4% so far this year. Hog slaughter estimated at 428,000, that compared to 426,000 last week and 436,000 a year ago. Hogs are still running 5% less than what they were a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Following Thursday's announcement regarding normal relations with Cuba, the National Association of Wheat Growers and Wheat Associated announced the groups expect wheat trade with Cuba in the future. Cuba does not have a domestic wheat industry and must purchase wheat from the European Union and Canada. The groups estimate Cuba could import at least 500,000 metric tons of wheat from the United States each year, but has not purchased U.S. wheat since 2011. USDA's Risk Management Agency announced program details in regards to relief for farmers affected by severe weather, including drought. Information made available includes eligible crops, crop years, and counties where producers are eligible to exclude certain yields under the Actual Production History, or APH, yield exclusion, a fact sheet, and a list of frequently asked questions. The APH yield exclusion will be available in the actuarial documents beginning in the 2015 crop year for spring-planted corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, grain sorghum, rice, barley, canola, sunflowers, peanuts, and popcorn. It will allow eligible producers who have been hit with severe weather to receive a higher approved yield on their insurance policies through the Federal Crop Insurance Program. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has published its final Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, concluding that Monsanto's Roundup Ready 2 Xtend soybeans should be fully deregulated. The final EIS moves Monsanto one step closer to the introduction of Roundup Ready 2 Xtend soybeans, which will provide dicamba-tolerant soybeans to farmers. I spoke with Xtend System Launch Manager Miriam Paris about the process of getting genetically modified crops available to farmers.
So as you mentioned early, we just received news last Friday that we are one step closer to a final deregulation in the U.S. I'll talk a little bit about the USDA process. A couple of years ago, we submitted dossiers to the agency for the dicamba-tolerant technologies for both cotton and soybean. These dossiers are then assessed by a scientific panel at the USDA. 2 years later, here we are. We've gotten final word that they are going to be deregulated at the beginning of the year. So this is a step towards that final process, and we're really excited for the introduction and what this means to our commercial plans.
Paris said this is a process every genetically modified species has to go through.
This is a process that we have to go through for all genetically modified technologies. So every product that's out there that is modified, such as Roundup Ready to Yield, as well as Roundup Ready 1, Smart Stacks Corn, and all of the other products that Monsanto produces and sells, they all go through the same process.
The main objective of this process? Safety.
The purpose of the process is really to assess the safety of the products. So the agency's main concern is, as they're looking at these dossiers, is to ensure that these products will not cause any harm to the environment as well as to human consumption.
Paris is optimistic that this latest piece of biotechnology will make it through the typical and rigorous safety check and be available in 2016.
We're really looking forward to the introduction of Roundup Ready to Xtend soybeans in the summer of 2016.
Again, that was Xtend System Launch Manager Miriam Paris. In the National Corn Growers Association 2014 National Corn Yield Contest, entrants continued to far surpass the national average corn yield, setting a contest record with a new all-time high yield of 503 bushels per acre. Yes, you heard me correctly. That was 503 bushels per acre. Additionally, a record 6 national entries surpassed the 400-plus bushel per acre mark. The all-time high yield record of 503 bushels per acre was set by Randy Dowdy of Valdosta, Georgia.
Well, we're real proactive. We try to understand what stress is. And if we start out with a hybrid that can make 600-800 bushels in theory, most of us never realize that potential, obviously. And I always envision a big calculator. And that big calculator starts out with that 600-800 bushel number on it. And there's something always hitting the minus button by the time we get to harvest. And when we start figuring out what those things are, what stresses are taking away yield, then we're able to be proactive and make sure that that's not a limiting factor. It's truly being a student of the crop, understand how the plant grows, understand when the yield potential is determined, and then just making sure that you're a step ahead of it.
The 7 national entrants recording yields of more than 400 bushels per acre were from the states of Virginia, Texas, and Georgia. The 18 winners in 6 production categories had verified yields averaging more than 383.6 bushels per acre, compared to the projected national average of 173.4 bushels per acre in 2014. While there is no overall contest winner, yields from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd place farmers' overall production categories topped out at 503.719 bushels per acre. The National Corn Yield Contest is now in its 50th year and remains NCGA's most popular program for members. Participation in the contest remained strong in 2014, with 8,129 entries received. As per the rules of the contest, all entries must have been grown on at least 10 acres of continuous land. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.